briefly, I feel there are certain life accomplishments, life achievements that are worth pointing out, and so you don't hear me do it too often, but I am so happy. Yesterday, my wife and I celebrated 22 years of marriage, and we were babies when we got married, and not so anymore, huh? No, not so anymore. We're in the Gospel of John. We're still in chapter 1. I said we're going to spend about 4 weeks in chapter 1. We're going to spend 3 weeks in chapter 2, and I'll keep going. I'll keep updating you as we go, because here's what I'm wanting you to do. I'm wanting you throughout your week to say, okay, Pastor, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read chapter 1. Oh, Pastor's speaking on chapter 1 again next week. I'm going to read on chapter 1 again. And I'm going to read it so I start applying it. And who knows, scripture memorization is good. But also, I think it's important to know summaries of chapters of the Bible. For instance, I can tell you, if you want to turn to the book of 1 John, I can tell you what each of those five chapters are about. Amen. So what I am encouraging you to do is by reading it over and over and over again, you are searing to your heart. You guys hearing me? You're searing it to your heart, and you are understanding the Word of God. You're understanding where to turn for key things, and I think that is vital for a believer's life. Amen? Amen. All right. So, again, this series is going to be about a six-month series, and the purpose for that is anytime I tell a new believer where to start reading, I say, start in the book of John. And that's always the refrain. And the reason I do that is because this book does such a good job of revealing who Jesus is and his function. And last week what we discovered was it starts out in this book, it says that he's the Word. And we hear that, and we explain what that means. He is God's spoken word to humanity, that where it starts off telling us exactly what Jesus' function is, and now as we turn, what we're going to see is it starts with Jesus' function, and now we're turning to man's position to Christ. And so this comes in the form of a man named John the Baptist. You know, a little less than a year ago, we did a four-week series on John the Baptist. Some of you might remember that. And it was a series called Wild, and where during that series, we talked about the man and what he did. Today, we're going to focus more on something that he specifically says. So turn into John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. We're going to read that whole section, but we're going to particularly focus on one verse. John 1, 19 through 28. Let's begin. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" Everyone in here say, "Who are you?"
Who are you?
He came right out and said, "I am not the Messiah." "Well then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we are expecting?" "No." "Then who are you?" We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am the voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize, though his ministry follows mine. I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals." This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for, as we're reading today, a conflict between Jewish leaders and John the Baptist, that God, we might understand not only who John is, but who we're supposed to be. I thank you, I praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. Some of you are note takers and some of you aren't, but I think something that would be important, to write down on your sheet of paper, circle it, draw around it, and it's referring to yourself. You could write, who are you? Who are you? Have you ever looked in the mirror and asked yourself that? Who are you? Anyone seen the movie Zoolander? Who am I? That's probably not a good example, but I digress. So many of us are asking, in regards to John, who are you? John himself, and they were looking for a specific answer. They were hoping that he's something significant that they can tie themselves to. He is something tangible that they can understand. And John was born to a woman who feared the Lord. Her name was Elizabeth, and she was Mary's cousin. And what we know about Elizabeth is Elizabeth was very old, and God did a miracle in the work of Elizabeth and her husband, and she gave birth at an old age. Who thinks that sounds like fun? All right. And so according to Luke chapter 1, verse 15, in her old age, with John in the womb, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he leaped for joy in his own mother's womb. That's pretty incredible. And so what I take from all this, that God had ordained, and he had established a work in John in the conception, in the growing process in his mother's womb. God had been doing that clear back in Isaiah, and we're not going to read it, but Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, he was establishing, he was preparing someone to usher the way for Jesus Christ. And now God, what he's doing is what I find interesting. Even in his mother's womb, he is empowering John the Baptist to do a special work through the Holy Spirit. And in that inner work, it was able to make him unique. He wasn't drawn to the world. He was clearly fulfilling a specific purpose. Think about it this way, and we talked about this in our series on John. The guy lived in the wilderness and ate bugs. Kind of a different guy. But he was driven by something that was much deeper than food and a shelter or a home to live in. And so what he did was he served God's intended purpose in bringing Jesus into the world. And so the question arises, John, who are you? At the end of the day, John was just a guy who was obedient and committed to God. You might need to write that down. He was just a guy, obedient and committed. See, because I believe God's not looking for someone who has the right upbringing, someone who has the right features, someone who has the right charisma. Imagine John thinking, well, I don't have much money. I came from nothing. I like to eat bugs, and everyone thinks I'm a little weird. God can't use me. But yet many of you have said the same thing, except for the bug eating part. Okay? Many of you have said the same thing. I don't come from anything special. I've got no money. I've got no influence. Maybe you're thinking about your background and trying to tie something in what way God could use you. And so what we tend to start doing is we start tending to look around and deciding, okay, so if I'm not qualified, who around me should be the one to go? Who should be the one to spread forth the message? Who should be the one to teach that Sunday school class? Who should be the one to pray for them over there across the aisle? Right? We start thinking those things because we are doubting what God can do with inside us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The prophet Samuel. He was told by God to go to this family of Jesse, and he's looking for the one who is going to be the king of Judah. And as he goes, and he just knows that it's one of the sons in this family of Jesse, and he goes to meet him, and he's looking at the oldest, and he's like, oh man, God, this guy, he's perfect. He's perfect. He has the right look. He's handsome. He's big. He's strong. Surely, surely your people will follow him. And God says, he's not the one I've chosen. And so Samuel starts going down the line of Jesse's sons, and there's seven of them, and God's like, this is not it. This is not the guy. And Samuel's like, I just saw seven guys who are pretty perfect. And so Samuel has to ask, do you have any more sons? Yeah, we have the youngest, the little one, but he's keeping watch of the sheep in the field. He's no one special. That's the guy. That's the guy. And yet for us, we sit there looking around thinking, okay, who's the best of us? Who can do it? Who should do it? And God is just asking for obedience and commitment. He wants your obedience and commitment. And the other side of all this, or there are probably people that came after John on the scene and saying, okay, I saw how he moved in power. I saw how people flocked out to where he was and was getting baptized. So I'm going to start doing what John's doing. Yet God didn't call them to do that. He might have called them to a specific purpose, just as he called John, but it wasn't to do that. And so what tends to happen is people are looking at positions and associating it with power and saying, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Maybe they see the stage, the lights, maybe the attention, and they interpret that as power. And I am here to tell you guys, God is not going to use someone like that. He's not going to. God wants a humble and willing heart that is going to give him the glory. And so if you are not walking under submission and the authority of God, you will fail. And here's the thing that I want you to wrap your arms around. This is failing according to God's standard, knowing that the world has different standards than God. So there are some out there that are failing according to God's standard, but the world is looking at them and saying they are having success. We need to know the only way to succeed according to God's standard is to do his will. You guys hearing me here? We're going a specific place, so I want to steer us in the right direction. Because we're looking at a man like John the Baptist, and he was so compelling, he was so unique, and he clearly filled this specific role of drawing people unto Jesus Christ. And the world's looking at him and going, who are you? You know, are you someone that's been prophesied about? We're trying to wrap our minds around who you are. And when you become someone compelling like John, the world is going to want to know who you are. So who or what do you, in this audience, who do you identify as? Because the world wants to know and they want to establish what your identity lies in. Who are you? Where do you come from? Where are you going? Our identity should be solely rested upon Jesus Christ because you have a better opportunity to minister. And that was important to the Apostle Paul because oftentimes as people, we put ourselves in a specific box. For instance, if I'm a Christian, it's easy to just say, well, now I just choose to identify with the people that are in this room. And I want to caution you against that. Because it could be so easy for us to say, well, I'm only going to identify as a certain way. And Paul's saying, no, that's not the right way. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. He says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. See, our world is so crazy that once we find Christ, once we find people that we can commune with and say, okay, they're going to better me, they're going to help point me to Christ. It could be easy to say, you know what, Pastor? The world has gone crazy, so what I think we should do is we should go buy an island in the Caribbean, right? And we're all going to move to the Caribbean, and we're going to be on this island, and everything is going to be perfect, harmonious. If anyone gets out of line, and we vote him off the island. It's going to be great. It's going to be perfect. And so we build this up in our mind and saying, okay, I can only associate now. I can only identify with certain people that fit into my frame of mind and frame of thinking. And Paul's saying, no, no, no. He's saying, be all things to all people. He's asking us to find common ground with people who believe differently than us. Because listen to what he says again. I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus gives the parable of the wedding feast. It's my favorite parable because it gives me such a vivid picture of what God is doing. And so there's this wedding feast, and there are certain people that were invited. And all those people that were invited, they're like, no, I can't come. I've got this thing going on. You know, I'm going to be washing my hair excuse. You guys know that one? I'm going to be busy washing my hair. You find excuses on why you can't come. And so this great feast that was prepared and said, okay, fine. If the ones I invited are not going to come, I'm just going to ask you, my servants, you, my people, I'm going to ask you, go out everywhere. The guys that are on the street corner, go ask them. The gals that are in the market, go ask them. Go everywhere, and anyone who is willing, we are going to invite in, we're going to bring in to be a part of this wedding feast. And what God is telling us and what he's instructing us through that parable is he's saying, as you go out, as you tell people about me, compel them to come. He uses those words specifically in verse 23, compel them to come. Do you know to compel people to come, you have to be compelling? Imagine this. Imagine. Well, you know, church is pretty great. You should come. I got some people I don't get along with. You don't want to sit over on that side of the church. And yeah, you don't want to get involved with this group either because they're kind of a pain. And dinners, you want to make sure you only eat this specific food because I don't know what she's got cooking in her kitchen. So, you know, and we come up with all these things that surround us, and like, well, Pastor said I'm supposed to go out and I'm supposed to tell other people about Jesus, but yet there are things about the church that, you know, I don't want to steer them down the wrong road, so I'm going to be honest with them. And the truth is, it's talking about so many other things than just being compelling for Jesus Christ. Are you guys hearing me? Let that be the driving force of what you do. And maybe you're saying, okay, Pastor, I understand I'm not compelling. Maybe I can add a magic trick into my being compelling, and they're going to be wowed by my magic. I have this special talent where I can, you know, stick my leg up around the back of my head, and I'll show them that and say, yeah, you should come to church. It's got a whole bunch of unique people. Instead, you could be truly passionate about who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. And let that be what changes you to make you compelling. They'll follow your words or they'll turn against you. It's pretty simple. And that is where I believe we could afford to be a lot more like John the Baptist, because so many of us, when we go out and try to be compelling, we're scared of rejection from people that we will never reach our full potential with God. We're more concerned about what someone else is going to think or say. We're more concerned about their response than just the fact that they need to know. Who can say amen to that? John the Baptist, he was guided by truth. He was guided by God. He just knew people need to hear the truth, and we need to live according to a higher purpose, and that the choice is theirs. And then Jesus goes on later, he instructs us that we need to anticipate rejection from the world. He did this with his disciples. There was a point in time in where Jesus in his ministry, he was sending all his disciples out to minister in twos. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, as he's instructing them before he sends them out, listen to what he says. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back the blessing. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on the judgment day. Let me tell you what Jesus is saying. Jesus is preparing them through this instruction to be more about the mission that he has sent them on than earning favor with people. Are you guys hearing this? Be more about the mission than earning favor with people. And then Jesus goes on later to remind us that the world hates him. John chapter 15, verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. Here's the thing about Jesus as you study him. He gave no reason for people to hate him other than the fact that he told them the truth. He told them the truth. And some people just don't want to hear it. But what this lesson is for us, as hard as the rejection can be, when one person receives it, it's worth it. When one person receives it, it's worth it. But it comes down to you, comes back to you, choosing to obey and commit to Christ. You need to be active in your faith. You know, John in his response, when they said, who are you? One of the first true explanations that he gave, because they said, are you the Messiah? No. Are you a prophet? No. And he responds to say, I am a voice in the wilderness. I'm a voice in the wilderness. And he doesn't answer the way that they'd expect. And instead, what he's doing is he's citing an Old Testament prophet, something that they would be familiar with. And you know, even though it's not the answer they're looking for, it's the one that he gave. And this is exactly what he means when he says it in regards to being a voice in the wilderness. It literally means someone who expresses an idea or opinion that is not popular, or that the individual is the sole person expressing that particular opinion with the suggestion that the opinion is then ignored. Or I can say this another way. It's John just doing it on his own. No help. There's no army. It's just him. It wasn't the popular thing, but you know what? It didn't matter. John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit, listening to the voice of God, he knew when to speak. And he also knew when to get out of the way. Although the details are left out, we can be assured that John was someone who listened to and was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And this is a man that didn't just operate saying, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to step out and do it. This is years and years and years of preparation. This is years and years and years of walking closely with God and being directed in what to do. So he had many years of prayer. He had many years of cultivating a life that was dependent upon hearing God's voice and following out after it, acting on what God's commands and stepping back when he tells him to step back. And no one could have played that role but John, because he was God's man. But God wants to take you and I, and he wants us to approach him in the exact same way, because God can use you in the exact same way to be a voice in the wilderness. And in order to be a voice in the wilderness, you have to use the voice God's given you. Are you guys hearing me? You have to use the voice that God's given you. Because believers in Christ, especially us here in the U.S., we sure like our comfort. We love our comfort. And everything in our world is geared toward our comfort. I was thinking about how far movie theaters have come along since I was a little kid. And just the seating. And I'm going to tell you, they have made those chairs in such a way now that if I recline back and the temperature is just the perfect environment and the movie is not holding my attention very well, I'm snoozing. Okay? I am snoozing. And Wendy and I, this is the first time we discovered, I think it was 2015, we were down in Florida and we said, hey, let's go to a movie. And there was a dine-in movie theater to the point where now you don't even have to wait in line in order to get your food. You can order it from your seat and then someone takes it to you and you have this little tray. You still have your recliner. You still have your recliner. You have this little tray that swings out over your lap. And they bring you your food and you eat right there. And I thought, I am so comfortable, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. And if you look, everything that we are sold today is about you being comfortable. But here's what I know. That kind of comfort is a hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because here's what it does. It promotes laziness and it promotes complacency. You guys hearing me? Our comfort, and for us as believers coming into the church, just wanting to be comfortable, Pastor. We just want to be comfortable. What I know is you are never going to find comfort in telling people about Jesus Christ unless you're relying on the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. Unless you're relying on the Holy Spirit. And so for us, the only way that we'll get to that point where we are comfortable enough to tell people about Jesus because of the work the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives is because we have walked in a relationship with Him. Are you hearing me? And we are understanding His sacrifice. And then there's the other challenge about using our voice. A voice that's in the wilderness. Because you and I, if you're like me, and you know, you struggle with being a people pleaser, you first wonder, well, is anyone even listening to me? Is anyone hearing what I have to say? And if no one is listening, what's the use? Because John the Baptist can attest to, the wilderness can be pretty lonely. It can be lonely being that voice in the wilderness. But here is the purpose of church. You have your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here that can build you up, but then you are going to go back out and your ministry at times is going to be lonely. It's going to be lonely, but you use the people around you here to strengthen you and remind you what this is all about and keep directing you to do the right thing no matter what. Because we cannot neglect the hope that Jesus Christ is coming soon. That's what John was doing. John said, I know my role. My role is to prepare the way. I am a voice in the wilderness, clear the way for the coming of the Lord. Clear the way for the coming of the Lord. His goal was to prepare people to meet Jesus, calling people to righteous living and pointing people to a hope in the Messiah. And so when Jesus' ministry was established, it could have all of a sudden with John, because John started having a following. John had his own disciples. He could have said, wait a second. Now Jesus is coming along and some of my disciples are going over to his tribe and I don't like that too much. And John could have said, you know what? No, I was for Jesus, but he's kind of stealing some of my thunder here. So I'm not going to point people to him anymore. They just need to follow me and keep trusting in the message that I am giving them. John didn't do that. John knew it wasn't about him. It's about God the Father. It's about God the Father sending his son. See, because I could sit here and I could tell you, you should be reaching others. And you should be bringing them to church. But John's ministry was birthed from a close walk with the Lord. See, it's one thing for me to say, okay, each and every one of you, go find someone this week that you want to reach for the gospel. And you could go out, you could invite them and everything. And they might come. There's an 80% chance that they won't, right, statistically speaking. But what is God going to do through you when everything that's coming out of you was birthed from a close walk with the Lord. Soon Jesus is returning. And our goal is to reach people before his return. And so as much as we can place emphasis on his return, or people just need to come to church so that they can be in right relationship, the only way you are going to convince people is because of that relationship. Okay? Because he should be everything to you. Jesus should be everything. Jesus has given you new life. He has given you a hope in eternity that you are no longer bound by your sins, and yet God is taking you, someone who is imperfect, someone where you might say, I didn't come from anything special. I'm not anyone special. But it is God and the work that God has done inside of me that makes me special, because God takes us as imperfect people and he does great and mighty things as he did with John. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It says, now we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. You might be weak. You might fail. But God has chosen you. And if you choose to identify as his, that his work, and he is the work of your hands, you are going to see God use you for a great eternal purpose. The closer you get to him, the more he is going to awaken you to that eternal purpose. God wants to pour out his spirit. God wants to pour out his spirit on you and I. And I am telling you, church, I am telling you that what you are going to have to do at some point in your life, you are going to say, okay, I am going to obey and commit, and I am going to seek the Holy Spirit, and I am going to choose to walk in a right relationship with him, and then I am going to see the fruits of my labor. I am going to see that when I'm telling others about Jesus, they're actually listening. They're actually following. I am compelling because of my relationship with him. Are you guys following me? That's the only way we're going to get it done, church, is that if our heart is truly aligned with the Lord and saying, God, I am yours to do whatever you would have me do. That's what God wants to do in us. But there are so many barriers, there are so many things getting in our way that we don't allow him to work the way that he was able to work in John the Baptist. And so we're sitting here going, man, if I could see the power of God the way I used to see it 20, 30 years ago. You know what? I'm sick of hearing that, because it's about our heart. It's not withdrawn. It's always withdrawn. We don't seek the way we used to. We don't desire the things of God the way we used to. We don't say, God, let your spirit pour out, and we just wait in his presence.